Well, good morning, ladies. Y'all look all refreshed and excited to be here. Let me clarify something. I am not a woman, okay? Brother Ed Moore said last night, what does it feel like to be compared to a woman? I said, pretty bad, because that happened to me last night. But I am, and I spell my name T-E-R-R-Y. I've had people say, would you please clarify that? Do you put an I on the end of your name? I said, no way. I am a man. Now, this is an interesting arena to walk into. When Harold first contacted me and Debbie said something about me coming and doing this breakout session, in my heart I said, Lord, I wonder what I've ever done to Harold that he would put me in this situation. I know where the escape routes are. I can go through the baptismal pool if the heat gets too hot in here. But I come with an open heart. I come with a burdened heart. I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for over 30 years. Known the Lord. Gloriously saved 42 years ago. God took me out of a wildcat life. I was a dope-smoking, beer-drinking Harley rider. Just trying to find some peace and happiness in life. Had everything under the sun. Anything a man would want, I had it. But yet I was crying myself to sleep because I was looking in the wrong places for the wrong thing and didn't realize that Jesus could become my greatest friend and my greatest lover and my greatest advocate in life. And when I found him, he didn't find me. He knew where I was. When I found him, November 17, 1977, God revolutionized my life, and I will never ever get over it. I had a preacher told me that a couple weeks after I got saved, because I went to him and said, I want to be baptized. He said, you're just going through a fad. You'll get over it. Well, I had a funeral with him not too long ago, and there was a part of me that just wanted to go to him and say, you know what? 42 years, I still haven't gotten over it yet. It's still fresh in here when God saved me. So I thank you for being here this morning. I pray that you this morning will lay aside biases in your life. I realize this is a sticky subject, and I prayed much over this because I think in God's kingdom, we are being influenced by a lot of deception and lies. And believe me, as a man, and I speak as a man because I know how men are because I am one, we can give you ladies a whole lot of reasons not to respect us. But apart from that, you can't get away from the Word of God. That's the plumb line. And I'll share before we close how God brought me through that process, that I had to lay aside biases. I had to lay aside some programmed ideas and things and some philosophies, some teaching even in the home to learn how to love my wife as Christ loved the church and be willing to die for her. And an experience that God took me through, where I just had to lay all of that thinking aside and say, God, I'm dumb as an ox when it comes to knowing how to love my wife. And by the way, we've been married 39 years this coming May, and I'm still working on that. Amen? God's still trying to teach me how to love my wife as Christ loved the church. So could we take a minute this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and would you say to the Lord, God, I'm asking you this morning to speak into my life. Ladies, can I say something to you this morning? Your way of thinking could be wrong. The way you were brought up, how you were influenced, maybe by a mother or other women in your life, it could be wrong. One of the hardest things I had to admit in life was that my dad was wrong. That the way he taught me as a strong, domineering bully that ran over my mother and us children. I had to be willing to come to the place and admit that he was wrong and that he didn't know anything about loving a wife as Christ loved the church. And so would you open your heart up and say, oh God, I have a pre-programmed idea that I've already got these defenses that are built up in my heart. And I'm already in that mode of not respecting my husband. But God, would you teach me this morning by the power of your Spirit to say, Lord, I want you to put me under the tutorship of the Spirit of God and teach me today how to honor and reverence and respect my husband. Father, in the quietness of this moment, we come to you today believing that you can equip us. God, you can give us everything we need in this hour to bring glory and honor to you. I pray for these dear ladies. Thank you, Lord, for them being here today. And you know, as I've sought your heart much, Lord, to know what to say and to be an instrument in your hand to communicate truth and challenge to them. I've had people speak truth to me over the years, Lord, and you know how I fought it and kicked and screamed and resisted it. But when I got in your presence, God, you showed me that they were right. And you've shown me how at times you don't change my circumstances, but you change me in the midst of my circumstances. And so we're praying here today that you'll have your own way, Lord. And we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll turn there, and also if you'll stick your finger in 1 Peter chapter 3, and these are really the two go-to portions of Scripture that we're going to use. And really summing up in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33, and I do a lot of marriage counseling. I love having the time to be able to sit down with couples. Now, I'm very straightforward and honest, and I'll be that way with you this morning. But I've learned over the years that truth is the thing that helps people the most. I'm not trying to win your favor, because some of you in this room, I'll never see you again. But I want to leave something behind that God uses to lodge in your heart to say, listen, I want to do this thing right. And I really believe that you want to, ladies. That's why you're here today. But in verse 33, he kind of sums up the needs of a wife and the needs of a husband. And he says in verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That word reverence means to honor or to respect him. And there could be ladies in here this morning that would say, not on your life, because he's done this, he's acted this way. Listen, I understand all of that. But that doesn't excuse the responsibility that we have, whether it's a husband or a wife, to align ourselves with the Scripture and do the right thing. Now, ladies, don't you love the butterflies on my PowerPoint this morning? I can never do this in a men's meeting. You know that? They'd laugh me out of the place. So I said, I got to put something cutesy in there for the ladies. See, my mother used to take me to Hallmark shops all the time. I cannot tell you how many hours I spend in a Hallmark shop, because my mother had to have the perfect card. And it couldn't be one of those lesser value cards. Amen. Had to be one of those more expensive ones. And it just had to be right. I was standing in the card store not long ago, and I'm reading every one of them, and the lady said, sir, can I help you? I said, ma'am, I'm just looking for the perfect card. She said, oh, just get one. I said, well, you don't know my wife. It's got to be right. First of all, there's the identification of the need, Ephesians 5:33. Secondly is the clarification of the need. Now, one of the books that I use outside of the Scriptures, and I always go to the Word of God first and foremost, because I think that is definitely, that's the plumb line. Listen, if you can't live up to this, forget all the other books. Forget all the other opinions, because this is where the rubber meets the road. The greatest formula for success is in Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter 3. And my heart, 39 years into it, is saying, God, this is what I want to be. I want to be that kind of man. I want to be that kind of husband that loves my wife as Christ loves the church, and be willing to take a bullet for her if need be. Secondly, there's the clarification of the need. And in using Dr. Emerson Eckrich's book on love and respect, which I think is a very, very practical book, definitely it's got bones in it. But you know what I've learned as I've matured in the Lord, as I read? And not every book is going to fit into my little pockets. And not always going to fit into my belief system. But there's enough meat there that I can draw from that. There's a lot of practicality there. And I'm a simple-minded individual, and they use acronyms. For the man, the word is couple, C-O-U-P-L-E. C stands for closeness. O stands for openness. U stands for understanding. P stands for peacemaker. L stands for loyalty. And E stands for esteem. And if I will align myself in a very practical way to do those things, then I will be communicating love to my wife. Amen. Now, for the ladies, your word is chair, C-H-A-I-R-S. And we'll get into the definitions on those in just a minute. Now, you need to say, Lord, help me with this. Because I know that we can be very confusing and we can be very perplexing individuals. And just like I said, we can give you a lot of different reasons not to respect us. What do you think about a man that just likes to sit on the couch and get the remote and just... Preach, that's a waste of time. My wife said, how in the world would you go out there and sit in that tree stand for hours and not move? I say, it's really easy and it's fun too. University of Pennsylvania did a study that a man can have no brain activity and still be alive. Seriously. I can identify. Hey, I say, yeah, amen, I'm all about that. I can sit out there on that fishing bank. Let the hours go by. Don't have time to do it, but I sure do enjoy doing it. But you take the word chairs. C stands for conquest. Hey, ladies, we're all about conquering. I love to fish, but I hate to catch and release. You know what I'm saying? Because if I catch that rascal, I want to eat him. It just makes me feel good. I love to hunt. I love that sense of conquering. In the flesh, a lot of men, they're conquerors. And they'll conquer a lady. That's why they're a lot of times they're players, because they feel like they've conquered the woman and give me another one to conquer. And men are all about their jobs, that sense of working and achieving. Men are drawn to the outdoors most of the time. Remember in the scriptures, God gave the responsibility to Adam to do what? To be a farmer. To get out there and get your fingers in the dirt. To work. To do those things that were essential. And that's why many times when a man loses his job, he bottoms out. And some of you ladies are challenged by your men's profession. And you maybe at times will gripe and complain because he spends so many hours at the job site. You need to ask yourself this question. Why does he stay at the job site so much? Sometimes it's because he is a workaholic. But sometimes he doesn't want to come home and listen to you. So there's this conquering aspect of what a man has. Ladies, don't ever express unappreciation to him because he works a lot. Don't ever look at him as being a meal ticket. Don't ever put him down because he works. If you got a working husband, thank God for it, and thank him for it. Ladies, when was the last time you looked into your husband's eyes and said, listen, I want to thank you for the fact that you show up to work every day. You're not a couch potato. Encourage him. And I know what you're thinking. I know what some of you are already scheming up in your mind. Well, preacher, I don't get anything from him. He never brings me flowers, and he never brings me candy, and he doesn't send me cards. He doesn't even know where my birthday is, and he doesn't know when our anniversary is. Ladies, set those things aside, okay? The thing that I've had to learn in 49 years, that I got enough work to do right here. And like somebody said, if you're busy rowing the boat, you don't have time to rock it. Amen. And so you got to concentrate on what your responsibility. C stands for conquest. H stands for hierarchy. And really, in a man's heart, we really want to protect and provide. You know, the old saying, I'm to be the breadwinner. Some of you ladies make more money than your husbands do, but do you ever remind him of that? In the heat of the moment? Hey, let me tell you who brings the most money into this home. You know what that does to a man? It makes him feel like some second-rate citizen. Like you're a nobody. You don't measure up. Ladies, listen, I'm 63 years old. There are many ladies that are far more intelligent. My wife is so intelligent. God knew the kind of woman that I needed. Somebody that's a whole lot smarter than me. And she has such a sense of discernment. I mean, when I'm sitting in a tree stand and I watch deer, and a doe comes out, and she's got a couple little yearlings with her. But anyway, she walks out that hedgerow and she's looking. She's checking the wind. She's just wanting to make sure it's safe for her little darlings to come out and get a little food. Now, buck, man, he comes flying out of the wood, nose to the ground. Boom! And us men are like that. A lot of times men live right here. We can be dumb as an ox and not even realize it. And some of you ladies said, hey, man, I can identify with that. My kids, we used to play a little game. Our two oldest kids were boys, and my darling girl, which is pregnant, by the way, amen. We got one in the incubator. I tell our church every Sunday, I've been telling them about 2.5 months, my daughter's pregnant, if y'all didn't know, so. Thank you. I appreciate that. But we used to play this game, and I'd take Tara, and I'd get down on all fours, and I'd tuck her in right here, and I'd fight those boys off. You know, she told me one day, she said, Dad, I've never felt so safe in all my life as when you were over me protecting me. Listen, that's really what a man desires to do. Help him with that. If he shows up, ladies, if he's there, be willing to encourage him. Listen, it is not male superiority for the sake of putting down a female. It is the male's responsibility to place himself over the female to protect her. You ever looked into your husband's eyes and said, listen, I want to thank you for being my protector. There's conquest, there's hierarchy. A stands for authority. And basically what this is saying, that we have a responsibility to lead and serve. Well, my husband doesn't do it. Well, can I ask you a question? What do you do to encourage him to be a leader? See, there's a great spirit of fear many times in women's hearts. And women at times are fearful to release major decision-making to a husband. And it could be because of your upbringing. Maybe your father was a weak individual. Maybe he wasn't a decision maker. And maybe your mother just stepped up and she was very domineering and she was much of a leader. And so that's the kind of atmosphere that you grew up in. Listen, that's not God's formula. And the thing that you have to do as a wife to say, listen, my husband might be a weak individual and he might not be a strong leader, but I have a God-given responsibility according to the word of God to be that instrument to make him into the kind of man that you want him to be, God. Insight. C-H-A-I. Insight. Now, men are fixers. And then we might use a lot of duct tape in fixing today, man. And we love camo. If you're a hunter, we love camouflage duct tape. That's pretty cool. But when you talk about insight, that's analyzing and counseling. You know, I've learned over the years when my wife comes to me, and I've walked in the house before. I'm sure you've experienced this, Brother Ed. You walk in the house, or your wife's standing in the kitchen, and she's crying. And I said, honey, what's wrong? And she said, I don't know. And I'm thinking, dear God, if she doesn't know how to, what's going on, what am I supposed to do? You know what I'm saying? Because I want to fix it for her. But she didn't want me to fix it. She just wants me to take her in her arms and just hold her. You know what I've learned? I let my wife talk enough and she'll fix her own problems. I said, man, this is cool. I just stand here. But listen, your husband has insight. You don't know my husband. Evidently, you don't either. Maybe you've never taken the time to say, oh God, He's your problem. By the way, ladies, your husband is not your responsibility to change. He's God's property. You just stay in the flow, like the commercial, stay in your lane, bro. Amen. Get in a groove where you're supposed to be and say, oh God, he might be a lifelong project, but I know you can do it through me. Because he's smart. He's got insight into areas that you don't. Because men don't run in their emotions. Brother Harold and I get out there in the front yard and fight like cats and dogs. Brush each other off and say, hey, let's go get a pizza and talk about fishing. Women, not like that. Now, y'all going to hang on to that grudge. Not going to forgive. Not on your life for 100 years. It's just the way it's going to be. But learn to get that insight. Relationship. R stands for relationship. Man, love shoulder to shoulder. We love the ladies being around. We just don't want all the questions. I asked a man one time, I said, why don't you take your wife hunting with you? He said, are you kidding? She'd be asking me questions about everything under the sun. She'd drive every deer off in the county. They'd be 100 miles away. My wife will come in and say, why'd you do that? Don't you think you could do that differently? Why don't you do it like this? Why don't you get some flowers? Why don't you put a picture on it? I'm like, oh. Men just love you to be, hey, listen, try this. Next time your husband's outside cutting the grass, go out on the front porch and just sit and watch. Oh, it's the other way around. Okay, while you're cutting the grass and he's sitting on the porch, look at him every once in a while. Hey, I'm brought up in a home where women don't, you don't dip ice cream, you don't take out the trash, you don't shine shoes, you don't cut grass. Amen. I held the door open for a lady the other day. She walked through. All right, C-H-A-I-R-S, conquest, hierarchy, authority, insight, relation. Yes. I want to tell you something. In our pulpits, we don't mention the S word. I'm not talking about cement. I used to love to toss that word around. I'm talking about sex, ladies. And I want to tell you something. This is one of the most damaging tools that can be used by a woman to get even with her husband. Most time when I'm in counseling in marriage, I take the time to look into the woman's eyes and say, ma'am, let me tell you something. If you don't take care of your husband's physical needs, there are plenty of women out there that will. And one of the most damaging areas for a man to be affected in is in the area of sexual intimacy. You want to make your husband hurt? Reject him. Mm-mm. See, women, you want your husband to have eyes for only one. You better not dare catch him looking at a Playboy magazine or doing a little porn surfing on the internet. And you say, you must have eyes for only one. But then you say, but you can't touch it. What does that say to a man? That says to a man, you don't care about me. You can tell me you love me all you want to, but you do not care about my needs. Listen, I can't help, ladies, the way God hardwired men. And you don't understand for a man. The sexual drive of a man is like a beehive in your soul. One lady was sitting in front of me, and I'm very candid when I talk to people about marriage. And one lady is sitting there saying, she said, I'm telling you, I'm so disgusted over this thing. I only think men think about sex and food. I said, well, we like to cut the grass every once in a while. We do like to wash our cars. And she said, preacher, did you feel that way too? I said, lady, I got the same color blood running in my veins that every other man's got. We can't help but think that way. But don't use that as a tool. because that will be more disrespecting. Well, preacher, not on your life am I going to allow him into the secret area of my life when he's running roughshod over me. Thirdly, opposition to the need. You speak to your husband in a condescending way. Do you ever put him down? You ever look at him and say, somebody else could have done a better job than you? Can't you do anything right? You're not my father. Boy, if my dad would have, my dad would have taken care of this in a heartbeat. I had a friend of mine, he didn't even know which end of the screwdriver to use. That's sad. And you say, what's his name? You ever talk to your husband and interrupt him and contradict him? Never allow him to finish sentences? You ever correct him publicly in front of other people, in front of the children? What's your view of him? Do you intimidate or bully your husband by manipulating him to get your way? You bring up his shortcomings constantly to him, but you do it in the presence of other people because it makes you feel good. That maybe this will help to motivate him. Seriously? Is that going to help the situation? Do you listen to your husband's opinion and try to understand him? Do you respect his requests and do everything in your power to meet those needs for him? Does your countenance reflect disrespect? You ever look at him sometimes and like, well, I don't say anything. You don't have to. You ever look at your husband like, you're disgusting. Just look at him like that. And your eyes just communicate that you are nothing but a failure in my eyes. Would your husband say that you have a meek and quiet spirit? Ladies, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. Learning to be tempered. Learning to align ourselves with the Word of God and do what God tells us to do to minister to the heart of my husband, whether he deserves it or not. Let me ask you a question. How many of us in this room deserve grace? Not one single person, myself included, deserves the grace that God extends to me every single day. Well, you know what, ladies? I am to be a living example of the person of Christ that I am. To extend grace and mercy. I am to love my wife as Christ loved the church, and when it really gets tough, ladies, is when she's not deserving of it. That's when it's hard. But can you imagine what goes on in the heart of God when you and I say, Lord, she is not deserving of me loving her, but I'm just going to trust you to give me what I need to love this woman and align myself to the Word of God because I want to bring pleasure to your heart first and foremost. The opposition by taking your husband for granted. He'll always be there. Ladies, he might not be there. That's a proven fact. The men will bolt and run, and it doesn't take a whole lot. Well, I'm pretty sure he's going to be there. You need to know he's going to be there because you need to do every single day those things that communicate respect to him to make sure that he stays there. It don't take much. A nice lady walks in, she smells good, she looks good, she looks at your husband and says, you know what, you're a pretty sharp guy. I appreciate the fact that you show up to work every day. I'm impressed with that. You know, you keep your clothes nice and neat. My husband's not like that. Well, you think that's going to do a man's heart that's living in a home with a woman that looks at him in disgust every day? Say, listen, you're not going to be in my bed anymore. You go get in your own bed and leave me alone. Because you forgot my birthday. Focusing on the negatives. I was sitting in front of a couple one day and I said, listen, I'm going to give each one of you a sheet of paper. Now I want you to go around and go and write down the positive things about each other. Lady looked at me and said, I don't have anything put on the paper. I thought about it. I said, well, why don't you go around and write the negative things about yourself on the paper? I didn't say that. I didn't say it. By becoming critical, bitter, and resentful. Ladies, I want to ask you straight up, do you resent your husband? And he gives me many reasons. And I say this to you, you might have a whole lot of reasons to disrespect him, but you don't have a right to as a Christian. I've sat in front of too many couples. And you know what's so hard for me as a pastor? It's when people have gone and done what they want to do, and they look at material like this in the Word of God and say, listen, it's a joke. I'm not putting any effort to respecting my husband. You know who they come to when everything is falling apart, Brother Ed? They come sit in front of the preacher. They come in and dump all their garbage up on my desk and say, fix it. That's what we pay you for. And I have spent hours and hours and hours. We got a situation right now with a young couple. My heart just aches for them. Because as a pastor, I've almost taken them in like my children. And I've spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And unless God intervenes, they're headed for the divorce court. You know how that is so hard for a pastor? No, the opposition to the need is by desiring revenge, getting even. And ladies, you have your ways. You have your ways. You got to be willing to, I'd say man up, but I'm going to say you got to be willing to lady up and admit where you are. If the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart right now, embrace that and say, Lord, speak to me. What do I do? How do I handle a preacher? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says, likewise. Now, the word likewise always refers back to what's written prior to that. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, it talks about the suffering of Christ. What he's saying there is this, take into consideration the suffering of Christ. You refer back to that. Listen, if you're going to make it in this marriage relationship and show respect to your husband, you got to learn something about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, which says, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess of be ye filled with the Spirit of God. That's not a cutesy little suggestion. That is an imperative command. Sadly to say, I know what it's like to be intoxicated, to say things, do things, and act certain ways that I didn't even have a clue that I was doing it. And really, in essence, what that scripture is saying is that you need to be intoxicated with the Spirit from the head to the toe. That when I look into the eyes of that man and he disgusts me, that I have to say, God, give me the grace, give me the strength, fill me up with your Spirit, where what I communicate to him is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and self-control, whether he deserves it or not. Amen. Secondly, make the adjustments. 1 Peter verse 1 says, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. We don't like those words. We don't like those words that put us in a second-rate position. Hey, listen, ladies. There's an authoritative rank in the home. There's an authoritative rank in the government. There's an authoritative rank in the church. There's an authoritative line of government in many aspects of life. I don't like. One of my kids said, when do you ever get to a place where people quit telling you what to do? I said, that'll never happen. I said, try my job. I got 150 bosses. It's a military term. And ladies, you're in one of the safest places in all the world. In that second position. That's not a put down. I believe that women are superior. You know why? Because God uniquely formed you and fashioned you. I think that's pretty cool that God would do that for you. Maybe you don't see yourself in that light, but that's true. And that word subject means an obligation, but also an opportunity. Can I say something, ladies? The opportunity that you've got to be an instrument in the hand of God to make your man a spiritual giant. I don't see it, preacher. Listen, faith says that I can believe it to happen whether I see it or not. And so you have to embrace suffering. You got to walk in humility. You got to take the low road. Ladies, some of you in this room, you need to get low. You need to say, God, help me to understand my position in this thing and quit trying to wear the britches in the family and submit myself to your leadership and your spirit to make my husband, if it takes everything I got and the rest of my life, to see you work in his heart and his life. See, some of you have already crossed over in your heart and your mind, he'll never be any different. This is the way he's always going to be. That might be true, but you don't have to stay in that frame of mind. Guard your conversation. The scripture says in verse 1, that if any obey not the word, talking about the men, they also may be without the word, won by the conversation of their wives. Ladies, what are you communicating? Not from here, but from here. What's really coming from your heart? What do you communicate to your husband? When he walks in the door, do you look at him like, here's the kids. I've been fighting kids all day long. Washing machine broke down. Car won't start. Dog got sick on the carpet. Kids been fighting, screaming, broke furniture, tore everything apart. Good to see you. Like a lady said, her husband really got concerned about, you know, doing the right thing, and he stopped and got some candy and flowers and a card, and he walks in the door and he has flowers and candy and a card, and he walks in, his wife starts crying. He said, honey, what's wrong? It's been a horrible day. Everything's gone wrong. You come home drunk. Guard your conversation and show him Jesus. Ladies, let me ask you, what's your husband's opinion of you? One man said, I think my wife loves me, but I don't think she likes me. Read the rest of that verse of scripture. It says, listen, don't put so much emphasis on the outward. Put it on the inward. Cultivate your heart first and foremost. Ladies, I say this with all love in my heart. If you spend as much time taking care of this, taking care of this, as you do taking care of this, there'd be a whole lot of difference there. That's not a put down. That's just truth. If I were to ask every single one, do you believe in prayer? I'm sure. But let me ask you a question. How much do you pray? Do you criticize your husband more than you pray for him? You know what I've learned? If I'm criticizing people, I'm not praying for them. But if I'm praying for them, I'm not criticizing them. I'm entering in. Let me take you back several years ago, and the reason why this stuff is close to my heart, because I've had to walk through this. And I can speak very explicitly, not in a relationship with a man, but dealing with myself and learning how to love a woman as Christ loved the church. We'd been in ministry, first ministry position, 1987. I was in the ministry. I'm a full-time pastor. That's when the asbestos craze was on. We had an old house, had 150 feet of friable asbestos. My wife went berserk. She was overwhelmed with fear that we were all going to die. She came to me one day and said, listen, I want you to rent one of those machines and put it in the house to check the air quality to make sure that, because we had small kids. And in her mothering instinct, she wanted to protect those children. And so she's listening to all the news reports and reading all the articles. And thank God to my mother-in-law, she sent an article too. Amen. God bless her heart. She's 94 years old. She's a blessing. But she was overwhelmed. I mean, just couldn't get control. I'm thinking, Lord, I don't need this. I'm a pastor. I got my first full-time ministry. You know what I told her one day? I said, you need to get right with God. Put all this foolishness down and get right with the Lord. And you'd say, how did that work for you? not do good. She said, you need, I'm not going to go into what she said. But listen, I took her to every council I knew on the East Coast to try to get her right. Nothing was working. You know what I started contemplating in my mind? Hey, I guess I just won't be able to be a pastor. When the devil came along and said, no, just get you another woman. Heard the story of a 70-some-year-old man that divorced his first wife because she was a couple years older than him. And he said, she's too old to keep up with me, so God told me to go get a young wife. God told you. And believe me, the devil put that in my ear. Hey, you want to be a success in your ministry? She's a ball and chain around your foot. Go get you another one. And everywhere I went, everybody tried to attack, you know, from the demonic. It's just the devil. It's just the devil. Just the devil. I went to one man, Ron Susek, up in Pennsylvania. And Ron travels all over the United States. Great man. Great blessing. And Ron said, listen, I got about 45 minutes. We've got to catch a flight, go out west somewhere. If you guys want to come, we'll sit down and talk over breakfast, and I'll share whatever God puts in my heart. So we did. Well, you know, my wife starts sharing what's going on in her heart life, and Ron just sitting there eating, not saying anything, and I'm like, okay, God, I think we're on to something here. Amen. Praise God. So my wife gets through talking, and Ron said, I got about 10 minutes left. And so I'm going to tell you what I think God wants you to hear. He turned to me. He said, you're the problem. I was sitting there thinking, I guess you thought I was going to buy your breakfast, but I ain't doing it now. That's not going to happen. You can pay for your own breakfast. Let me tell you something. I got mad. I was kicking and fussing and fuming in my heart. I felt like cussing him out. I felt like taking that plate and slamming it in his face. Because in my heart, I'm saying the audacity of you to say that I'm the problem when I got everything right, she's the problem. And so we had a quiet ride back from York, Pennsylvania. And buddy, when we got to the house, she went one way, I went to the other, I went to the bedroom, and I got before the Lord, and I said, oh, God, Lord, why don't you just strike Ron Susek down with some kind of sickness? Give him an upset stomach. Amen. I said, Lord, can you believe that he talked to me like that in front of my wife and put me down? You ever had those times when you're giving God the report and you don't hear anything? And it gets quiet. And I thought, oh, God, I'm in trouble. Even God thinks like he does. And the Lord said, he was exactly right. You are the problem. You know nothing of loving your wife as Christ loved the church and be willing to die for her. She's a ball and chain in your life. You're critical, you're resentful, you're bitter, you're angry. My wife told me one time, she said, I don't even want to go to church with you because you're a stinking hypocrite. You think I want to sit up there and listen to you preach the word of God when you act like the devil in the home, but you get up there and act like you're the greatest saint that ever walked in two shoes? And I said, Lord, what can I say? Okay, I'm the problem. I went downstairs and I got on my knees in front of my wife. And I said, honey, I realize, and I'm going to embrace this hook, line, and sinker, that I'm the problem. I'm not accusing you of a thing. I'll take full responsibility for every aspect of the downfall of this marriage relationship. And I want to ask you to forgive me. Oh, you know what she did? She kissed me and loved me and looked at me like, oh, praise God. No. She looked at me and said, I've heard that before. Ladies, her spirit was so close to me, it was shut down. I couldn't get within 10 feet of her emotionally. And I said, by God's grace, I will do everything in my power to win the heart of my wife. Ladies, you know how long it took me? 2 solid years. 2 years. That every morning when my feet would hit the floor, I said, God, give me wisdom to know how to minister to my wife and love her as Christ loved the church and be willing to die for her. She wanted me to get that contraption in the house. And I said, not on your life. And one of the first things the Spirit of God said to me when I said, Lord, what do I need to do to minister to my wife? He said, call that man up and give him $150 and tell him bring that machine into the house and shout the whole time it's here. I said, yes, sir. I called him. I gave him $150. He brought that machine in the house. I was just having a time. You know why? Because I was obeying God. My mission was to win the heart of my wife. And the situation didn't get better. It got worse. And I remember one day a man said to me, he said, preacher, is your wife saved? I said, sure. She's memorized whole books of the Bible. She's gone to a Bible college for 5 or 6 years. She's raised in a pastor's home. She knows how to do. She's given money. She's done all. And she's got all the credentials. But he said, is she saved? I said, well, sure. He said, have you ever asked God? I said, no. Didn't think I had to. Pray about it. Ladies, can I tell you something? The reason why your husband acts the way he does possibly is because he doesn't know the Lord. One lady called me up one day. She said, my husband, he's a drunk. He stinks. He cusses. Acts like the devil. I said, is he saved? No. I said, well, don't expect anything different from him. Pretty simple. You might be dealing with a man that doesn't know the Lord, and you're the instrument of Jesus in his life. I was dealing with a situation where a lady had been taught to be a good Christian because God showed me 3 specific areas in her life in a position of prayer where I said, God, you show me whether she's saved or not. And God communicated very clearly that there were 3 areas of her life that would prove out the fact whether she knew God or not. Listen, I was an associate pastor. I couldn't get up in the church and say, would y'all pray for me? My wife's lost. Friends, I was locked up with God. I couldn't tell anybody, but I knew that I had to be Jesus to her, and I'm still working on that. God's still working in my heart to teach me that. We went to a camp, a youth camp. God was on the scenes working mightily. She came to me on Thursday that week, and she said, I'm going home. I'm done. I said, listen, I know you struggle. You've doubted your salvation for 8 years of our marriage. And I know there's a battle going on. And I'm not here to accuse. But could we get down on this asphalt right here in the middle of this road and ask God to communicate and show you whether you know the Lord or not? She agreed to do that. We got down our knees on that asphalt. And I said, Lord, she needs to know whether she's really your property or not. Would you show her? Very simple prayer. The very next morning, we sat down with a guest evangelist, and he said, I don't know what to tell you, and I don't know what to share with you. Just some verses out of 1 John. He read 3 or 4 verses. My wife stood up. She went around behind the metal chair. She grabbed the back of it. She said, for the first time in my life, I see myself as a sinner. Now, nobody had to lead her to Christ because she already knew how to lead people to Christ. But can I tell you something? God took a good woman and made her a better woman. And from that day to this, 30-some years down the road, she's never doubted her salvation one time. I am so thankful that God taught me much about being willing to say, listen, I'm the problem. Ladies, your husband might not be the problem. You might be the problem. But you have to put yourself before the Spirit of God and say, Lord, work my heart over. And you can do the blame game all you want to. But if you're willing, and I double dog dare you to get before God and say, Lord, teach me the power, by the power of your Spirit to show this man respects if it takes my life. Because there's ladies in here this morning, you're critical, you're resentful, you're bitter, you're angry, you don't trust him, which many times is a good indicator that you really don't trust God. You can't trust God with your husband because you feel like it's your responsibility and your ministry to fix him and to change him. You know what I had to come to grips with? The fact that my wife might never change, but God could change me. Old Joe was a drunk. Joe was a wino. Joe stumbled into a rescue mission one day. Joe was gloriously saved. His life was changed. Joe had such a heart to service, and anybody come to the rescue mission, he'd love on them, he'd minister to them, he'd do all kinds of things, live there. He was just there to be a servant. There was a man that came in one night and just in a drunkard stupor, just got sick. I mean, there was so much to be done to take care of that man, and Joe sat by him all night long and wiped the sweat off his brow because he was scared he was going to die from alcohol poisoning. That gentleman survived. 2 weeks later, they were having an evangelistic meeting, and that man came out of the back, came to the altar, and when he hit the altar, he said, "Oh, God, make me like Joe. God, make me like Joe. Help me to have that kind of spirit where I minister to people and I love people, and God, make me like Joe." The evangelist leaned down and said, "Listen, sir, wouldn't you rather for God to make you like Jesus?" That man looked up at him, and he said, "I don't know who Jesus is, but is he anything like Joe?" Ladies, some of your husbands need to see you being like Jesus. That when you look at him, it's not a look of disgust. You learn to need to have pity sometimes. To say, "God, help me to respect and be there to be a blessing to my husband as I yield myself to the Spirit of God to pour out grace and mercy. God, forgive me of my wicked, judgmental, condemning spirit. God, help me to be filled with your grace and your mercy that I might be God's instrument to communicate Jesus to him." Let me ask you to bow your heads for just a moment. Ladies, where's your heart at right now? Are there some ladies in here today who say, "Preacher, I don't like what you said"? You know, I've learned defensiveness is a sign of unsurrendered ground, which tells me basically you weren't willing to pray in the beginning of the service to say, "Lord, could I be wrong?" Or to say, "God, change my heart." Are there ladies here today who say, "God, work in my heart in a mighty way to help me to be the person that I need to be for Jesus' sake"? And I pray that prayer in Jesus' name. And would you pray for your husband right now that God will make him into the kind of man and use you to see that developed in his life? Father, thank you for the blessing of your word, the challenge that comes from it. I pray for these dear ladies. You'll give them strength, give them grace, give them mercy. The Bible says you're a present help in time of need. And so I pray today that you'll give them everything they need to go home and be Jesus to their husbands. And we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray.